I want to welcome everyone, and we're going to begin with prayer, then we're going into the book of Isaiah to continue where we left off. We're going all the way through the book of Isaiah, and what a book it is. Praise God. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for thy great and many blessings to us. We thank thee for this gathering of thy people this morning. And I pray, Lord, that thy word would sink down deep into our hearts, that thou wouldst give us faith, O Lord, that thou wouldst lift us up by thy mercy and by thy grace. For we stand in need of thee this day, for without thee we can do nothing. For thou art the living God, and there is none else. There is none other Savior, O Lord, but thee. And I pray that thou wouldst impress upon us this day the urgency of the hour, that the time is short and the days are evil. And I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst strengthen us and fortify us with power from on high. Lord, that thou wouldst bind every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every principality and power of evil, everything that would exalt itself against thee, thy people, thy word, and thy kingdom. Lord, let thy swift and mighty sword come against them. And I pray, Lord, that thy people would be lifted up to do a work for thee. Help us, O Lord, to do battle and to fight the good fight of faith. And help us this morning that something that happens here this day would strengthen us greatly, and that thou wouldst lead us and direct us in the path of righteousness. We ask it in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. There, now we got that taken care of. I believe we always need to pray before we try to do anything. It's a good lesson to learn in life, isn't it? Thank God. We are in Isaiah chapter 30. And beginning with the first verse. You know, some people would say that Isaiah had a one-track mind. And I suppose I have no problem with that. But he was minded toward the Lord. It was God speaking through him. Some would say Isaiah was negative. Did you ever hear the Christians being accused of being negative? Pointing out all the evil and all the things that are wrong? Well, you know, Jesus spent his entire ministry doing that. At the same time, he healed, he raised the dead, he did many wonderful things. But he talked more about the devil and more about the wicked things going on out there that we are to avoid than anything else, if you really read it and see what he said. And so it was with his prophets. The prophets of the Almighty God brought forth a message that many times would scare people, shake them up, bring them to their knees. We don't need to have a sugar-coated, smooth, deceitful pack of lies preached to us. We need to hear it exactly like it is. Sin is sin and cannot be made into anything but sin. Amen. Let's see what the prophet Isaiah had to say to us, for I believe all the Bible is for us. And we are beginning with verse 1. He says, woe! That's the opposite of blessing, isn't it? Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. This is God talking, isn't it? Saith the Lord. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. You see what he's saying here is he's telling us, and this holds true not only in church organizations, but any secret society, and there are some church organizations that are secret societies, aren't they? Can you think of one? How about the Mormons? If you get a chance, look in the 1997 version of the Old Farmer's Almanac. Dieter gave me one of those as a gift. I was going to buy one, but he gave it to me, and he's always one step ahead of me. So in there, you will find a page. There's a big picture of Brigham Young, one of the founders of the Mormon Church. And around his neck is the compass and square insignia of Freemasonry, wearing it right around his neck in the open. Kind of tells you something, doesn't it? Any organization, any system, whether it be government or church or educational, any secret society is going to be evil. Jesus said men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They have something to hide. Something done in secret, clandestine. Certain things going on, certain consistories that exclude other people. And they get together in their little councils, and God said, that's not of me. What Jesus preached to one, he preached to all. There were no little secret setups anywhere. No little secret societies. But the gospel of Jesus Christ was open to all. And the gospel will do some amazing things. It'll shatter the darkness. It'll hit it head on. I understand the government's getting upset right now about churches speaking about political things. They're saying then they're not churches if they talk about things going on outside. Hey, we live in this world even though we're not of it. And the gospel will expose those things. Jesus said that the time would come when that which was done in secret would be shouted from the rooftops. Amen. Maybe I'll get a ladder and climb up there. It's a high roof, isn't it? But we've got to make this known. And so he is pronouncing a woe unto those that do things in secret, that they may add sin to sin. The Lord said, it's not my spirit guiding them. There's something else guiding them. He goes on and he elaborates on this in verse 2. He says that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and the trust in the shadow of Egypt. Now, you may be thinking, of course, most of you have studied enough and have heard my preaching, read newsletters. You can grasp things very quickly. But I'm just going to say that to some people, they would say, well, Egypt, what does that have to do with us? Egypt was a country that was a superpower long ago. In fact, it was a one-world government, an empire. Remember, there was always, and please remember this, it's important, there was always a one-world government, an empire, on the face of this earth until Jesus came the first time. Since then, they've never been able to put one together. Isn't that interesting? For an example, you had the Egyptian Empire. They were beaten by the Assyrians, but then they rose up and became a world empire. And then Babylon, and then Medo-Persia, and then Greece, and then Rome. But during the Roman Empire, God was manifest in the flesh. Right? And he came down to this earth, was born of a virgin named Mary. He grew up in this world. He walked among the people, and we can read all about his ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the wonderful things that he did. And then he suffered and died on the cross of Calvary, and he was buried. But he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. He rose up in power, having conquered all things evil, and even conquered death. That's good news in itself, isn't it? But the fact that he did that so that we might have power over these things is wonderful news to us. Because we share in his resurrection power. We are called by his name. And we live in a world that just as they were hostile to him, they are hostile to us. You understand that? The Christian, if he is real, wins no popularity contests. In fact, you don't fit in very well in the world. You're not supposed to. That's a built-in safety mechanism. You don't belong among the heathen. You are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, regenerated by his Spirit, baptized in his name, and you are different. Something happened on the cross of Calvary. God put a difference between evil and good, between righteousness and unrighteousness. Amen. There will be those on his right hand. There will be those on his left hand. That's just how different it is. And I'll tell you, there'll be a whole lot more on the left side than there are on the right. Or hadn't you noticed that yet? Now, if you look at what the scripture is saying here, Egypt was not just a superpower. This is not a history lesson only. But the spirit of Egypt is upon us right now. It's all around us. You can call it the spirit of Antichrist if you want to. That's kind of all-inclusive, this terminology. Because we have the same devils right now that existed back in Egypt, and in Assyria, and in Babylonia, and in Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. These devils continue on. People come and go. People are born, and people die. But the unclean spirits stay busy working on the new ones that come along. That isn't too hard to figure out, is it? So what is the Lord warning us about here? He says, "Woe unto them," carrying over from verse 1, "that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh." And the trust in the shadow of Egypt? Pharaoh was an interesting character. He was supposed to be the son of God, according to the Egyptians and the Freemasons. Freemasonry goes way, way, way back, because it is a conspiracy of the devil himself, manifest through every pagan and heathen religion. And by the way, do we still have paganism and heathenism now? Heathenism is a religion. Paganism, see, the witches all call themselves pagans. And boy, they're having fun this month. This is their big month because they got all these churches involved in Halloween parties and getting involved in trick-or-treating and all this stuff. This is pure, rank paganism. It's witchcraft. It has nothing to do with the Christian. You better not be involved in it, because it's nasty business. I mentioned in a prayer meeting last night, Daniel had given me an article. There is a church in Colorado. Was it Abundant Life Christian Center? They have opened a hell house. A hell house for Halloween. A church. A hell house. That's what they call it. That's not the terminology some news commentator or editor picked out. That's what they call it. They got a sign up in front that says Hell House. Furthermore, for $149, they will sell any other church the plans so that they can make their own Hell House. Now you might say, "What?" Yeah, that's what I said. But it kind of shows you where we're at. And I have often wondered, why is it that there is such a lack of discernment, that people can look at something evil and not be able to figure out that it's evil? And I think I've found the answer. Anybody who is not fighting the devil, just by their complacency, they're cooperating with him. People who fight evil, who speak against it, work against it, they're going to be given the gift of the spirit of discernment. Because they have to have it. You can't possibly survive in a battle without discernment. But when people don't fight, when they relax, when they let down their guard, when they quit praying, when they just go through the motions of going to church or whatever they do, they won't have discernment and they will be deceived. And they will make mistakes. And they'll get in trouble. You've got to be fighting. Amen. But it's interesting here, the strength of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was, you might say, the king of Egypt. He wasn't really a king. He didn't call himself that. Pharaoh was unique in that he was the head of state, but also designated as the son of God. That he was spiritual. This carried over, by the way. Well, let me put it this way. Could you imagine if you had to control all the people? What's the best way to do it? Not just control them politically, but to control them spiritually. If you could get people to think that you are a God man, and that you as an individual person could determine where they were going to spend eternity, and they really believed that, there isn't anything they wouldn't do for you. That's why they hauled those big rocks and built those big pyramids. You see? I realize that Israel, when they were in slavery, helped with that. But a lot of Egyptians did it too. And they did it out of loyalty, because they believed Pharaoh was a God man, that he could determine where they would spend eternity. Do you know how many Catholic people think the priest and the Pope can determine where they spend eternity? Do you know why the King of England or the King of France or any of these countries, why they went to the cathedral to be crowned? To make a statement to the people, that crown is put on my head by God. Therefore, you must do whatever I say. Now you might say, well, at least we live in the United States, so we don't have that problem. Oh, really? You watch what's coming. In order to control people, you've got to control their souls. And that's the spirit of Antichrist. And that's coming fast. And we had better be ready to be loyal to the Lord, that He is our God and none else. See, if you've got idols in your life right now, it won't be a great problem to just glom onto another one. But when you detest idolatry, when you hate idolatry, when you refuse idolatry, you'll never accept any idolatry. Isn't that wonderful? Simple but profound. And it's true. Notice here, this Pharaoh was a God man. They said that in Egyptian belief, Pharaoh came from the sun that rises in the east. That's why in Egypt they always worshiped facing the east. Kind of a lot like the many so-called Christian churches do on Easter when they have their sunrise service. They get up at the rising of the sun and worship, worshiping toward the east. You might say, but they're worshiping something else. The Bible says, learn not the way of the heathen. Peter.
They did.
They had to build them facing that way, because to be a cathedral, it had to be a house of the east. You had to be orientated. The orient meaning east. Did you ever go through an orientation? Get your bearings straight with the rising sun, you see. That's built right into our society, isn't it? They want to make witches, they want to make masons, they want to make at least de facto masons out of every one of us. So we cooperate with the system of Antichrist. But the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's what God said. But they've got heathenism built into what is considered to be Christianity. They've got people who claim to be Christian doing the same things they did in Egypt that God hated. Now, Pharaoh supposedly came down from the sun. He walked down the golden steps from the sun and through the golden arches into this world. Yes, you know how many people go and go through the golden arches to eat a hamburger? Yeah. No, actually, a lot of companies, the majority of the big businesses, I think I can safely say all of them now, are illuministic. They are run by people that are very much into a conspiracy, into this Fortune 500 situation. Fortune 500 used to be called the Council of 500, which was actually the Bilderberger Convention. See, Bilderberger, you build your burger, see? Yeah. Okay? Go through the golden arches. No, that was taken from the Bilderberg Hotel in the Netherlands. That's where they took their name from. But they are a conglomerate of super rich people that control the world, and they have a belief system. They believe if they mark their products that their god, Lucifer, will bless them. And they'll sell a lot, have a lot of power, make a lot of money. Do you ever look at some of the logos that exist all over the place? You know, you can go and buy gas. You can pull into that one that has the big illuministic torch. You expect more from Standard and you get it. Of course, now it's Amoco. They've subdivided the same group of people running. It's the Rockefellers. Or you can trust your car to the man who wears a star. That five-pointed star is a pentagram. It's a symbol of witchcraft. You could go on and on and on. They mark their stuff. They have a belief system. Now, we live in this world. We have to put up with all of that for a while. But we don't have to cooperate with the system. Amen. Amen. Citizens of heaven, ambassadors for Christ, make it known. Let people know about it. Another thing they did in Egypt, it says the Lord criticized them and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. You see, the Egyptians believed, and a lot of people of Israel, when they started to backslide and wanted to go back to Egypt, that's what this is all about. And even if they didn't physically return, many of them did, but even if they didn't, they had Egypt in their heart, which was just as bad. You don't necessarily backslide geographically, but you can backslide in your heart. And that's what's really important to know. What they believed is that there was power in the shadow. That's why the Lord uses the word shadow here. You have to understand their religion a little bit. One of the most powerful structures in Egypt was the obelisk. Have you ever seen an obelisk up close? Well, cemeteries are full of them, right? We've got one in Washington, D.C. called the Washington Monument. It's 555 feet high. It's the first object the rising sun strikes as it comes up. And it casts a huge shadow. Now the Egyptians believed that if they got under the shadow of a sacred object, that shadow was the spirit of the object. And therefore they were in the spirit of that object. So they get under the shadow of this obelisk that was put up in Egypt. There were a number of them put up. In fact, one of them now resides in Central Park in New York. It's called Cleopatra's Needle. And it's right over there in the northern part of Central Park. We just came from Central Park, from New York City, about 2 weeks ago. And it's amazing what is involved in this stuff. Dieter?
How about the one in the middle of St. Peter's Square in Rome?
Yes, we've got to take that into consideration. And that one, the one that is lined up directly with the door in St. Peter's, that Washington Monument, if you want to call it that, that one was taken directly from Heliopolis, the city of the sun, also called Beth Shemesh in the Hebrew, the house of the sun. And they get under that thing and let the shadow of it fall upon them and bask in the spirit of the obelisk. And what does obelisk mean? Obelisk, shaft of Baal. Baal's reproductive organ, if you would. And check it out, that's what it refers to. Wicked, vile, filthy, and evil. Fertility rites and customs of the pagans. But that's precisely what it was. How many people use them today for grave markers? How many people think it's holy because it stands in front of the Vatican? Anything standing in front of the Vatican is far from holy. I don't care what it is, a bag of marbles. Anything if you put in front of the Vatican is defiled. And how many people strive for an audience with the Pope? Kiss his ring. Worship at his feet. Call him Holy Father. Where does all this religion come from? See, the vast majority of religion is evil. We have to understand that. Churches are formed to corral people, to get them together, to lock them into a membership, and thus defile them and insulate them completely from the body of Christ. That's what church membership does. It purports to do just the opposite. What a clever gimmick. What a scheme. But here the Lord is criticizing them for trusting in the shadow of Egypt. The pyramids, all witchcraft, isn't it? See, I talk about these things sometimes and people think, that guy's nuts. You know, there's no witches. Witchcraft, that's silliness. That's like Santa Claus, you know, these sort of things. Well, they sure give their all to Santa Claus, don't they? Huh? For somebody who doesn't exist, they sure spend a lot of time trying to prove he does to the little children. Incidentally, Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Not put them in the lap of some weird, grotesque-looking character who supposedly comes out of the North Pole and knows everything and can give all gifts. Huh? You talk about gross, rank idolatry. That's it. Oh, we could go on and on about that, but we wouldn't get any farther in the Scripture here, would we? More later. All right? Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Where's Egypt? Well, there's a big part of it in Washington, D.C. They got a big obelisk there. Remember I said it was 555 feet high? Three fives. 555, that's just one short of 666. But incidentally, five, if you look in the Bible, is really the number of death. When they talk about somebody being killed, they were smitten under the fifth rib, right? Did you ever read in Genesis chapter 5? It'll talk there about the all the people that were born, and then they died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. It's kind of amazing when you look at the number 5 and how God views it. It's an indicator of death. And when you have that 555 foot, and that was not by coincidence, obelisk standing up there, it kind of tells you something. Sitting up there on, and there's this capital is put on a hill, isn't it? And the whole design of the street plan of the city of Washington, D.C. is Masonic. The whole city is a Masonic temple. The compass and the square appears in the street plan. Some of you have seen the newsletter that I put out regarding that. Where is Egypt today? All around us. All around us. Go in any courtroom. Go in the Capitol building in Madison. You'll see Egypt. You'll see all the symbols of Egypt. I walked in one of the entrances of the Capitol a while back and looked up, and there was the whole zodiac up on the ceiling. Astrology. Statues and idols put up there, and people come in. It's a house of worship is what it is. But not the kind you want. Egypt is everywhere. The spirit of Egypt. And it says, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. That's an important verse. Notice it says the princes of Egypt had gathered together. Why'd they gather together? Regarding the people of Israel, remember when they were in bondage? The counselors of Egypt gathered and said, these people are a reproach. They're shepherds. You remember reading that. Sheep were an abomination to the Egyptians. The Egyptians looked at sheep like Israel looked at pigs. And the people of Israel kept sheep. They were shepherds in the land of Goshen. And the Egyptians were ashamed of them. And of course, they enslaved them, but they were ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. I can't help but think of when President Clinton, just 2 days before we were standing in the United Nations building, he was standing there in the General Assembly chamber, and he made a speech, and he told the United Nations, all the nations that had gathered there, all the representatives, he said he was ashamed of the people of the United States. because they weren't doing more for the United Nations. He said the United Nations could do a lot more if more people in the United States would help. But he was ashamed of the people. Well, I'll tell you, I'm ashamed of him. To have a goofball like that stand up, he doesn't represent me. Well, amen. Cocaine snorting, womanizing character ends up as president of the United States. It shows you how far gone this country is. And the fact that the majority of the people still want him, with overwhelming evidence of all the things that are wrong, they still want him. Because he is so truly one of them. And there's the problem. A Christian, a righteous man or a righteous woman, would be ashamed and would pray and ask God for deliverance. But this country seems to want one of their own kind to lead them further into degradation. And that, again, is the spirit of Egypt. You might say, what are we going to do about all this? You're painting quite a grim picture here. There's a God in heaven. The Almighty is upon His throne. And He told us it would get this bad. In fact, if it gets worse, don't be surprised, because He said evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This should make us stronger. We're not going to acquiesce before the powers of darkness. We're not going to melt down and cower in fear. The Lord said it would get tough. That just before His coming, these things would happen. I hear evangelists get up. They stand up and preach sometimes, and they say, there's going to be a worldwide massive revival. By the millions, they will come in and be saved. And then I open my Bible, and it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot. What do both of those tell us? It was very evil and only a few escaped. That's what I read in my Bible. I also read about very small remnants. So when you see a big gathering together like Promise Keepers, where they have all different faiths gathered together and throw rolls of toilet paper around and beach balls and sing Beatles songs, that's not God. In fact, I think I had mentioned here the pastor of the man who started Promise Keepers, that coach. I don't recall his name. But his pastor made the statement that Beatles music was ordained of God. I don't know if you ever remember listening to their stuff. How many here have ever listened to Beatles music? You think that was ordained of God? Oh, imagine there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell beneath us and above us, only sky. And we've got it. That's one of their songs. That's John Lennon. Of course, he's dead now. He knows better now. We were right up not far from Dakota House, where Yoko Ono still lives. Very rich area of New York. That's near the area where the Council on Foreign Relations is. And it's beautiful up there, but it's very evil. You can feel it. It just you can almost inhale evil, which means you got to do a lot of praying. It's thick. That Council on Foreign Relations up there at 5868th Street is the headquarters of the Illuminati itself. And we walked in that building. Of course, we were told to get out rather quickly. But we did walk in. All I asked was, could I take a picture of the plaque on the wall, the dedication of the building from Harold Pratt to the CFR on behalf of Jacob H. Schiff, you know, the man who started it. Oh, you can't take any pictures in here. Arnie was standing right next to me. You can't take any pictures in here. Not even the press can come in here. All I want to do is take a picture. No, you can't do that. You can take a picture of the building outside, and here's a little book to take with you. That was to get rid of us. So we did. We stood outside and we prayed. We prayed in a lot of places, asking that the Lord would send his swift sword against them. You look at all the misery and all the evil being caused by this conspiratorial group. All the internationalists that are there trying, running like mad to put together a one world government, a one world system. So you've got one government, one church, one military force under a blue flag. A blue flag with an insignia that is a view of the top of the world from the uttermost north, which identifies it as being Luciferian, because it was Lucifer who became Satan who once said, "I will ascend up above the heights of the clouds. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High." And he has seized upon this world for a short time. But I know who the real master is. I was deceived long enough. And I learned from my background as an astrologer that the Lord saved me out of, as a palm reader, a numerologist, and all these things. The Lord saved me out of all that. I know what they're doing. I can spot it in a minute, because they gauge everything by the same thing I used to be in. I was mentioning earlier, some people don't believe in witches. There's a little article that was given to me last night, and here's another one. There's a little bigger article, actually, on it. Here it tells about a witch. See, every so often they have to admit they're real. Here was a witch who was sentenced to 6 years in jail for having sex with a 14-year-old boy. She cast a spell on him and wrote letters in her own blood. Huh? Got 6 years for it, but her fellow witches are outraged. Like, there's nothing wrong. See, you have to understand how a witch thinks. The spell worked, didn't it? If it worked, well then, it was all right, see? That's the way they look at it. Of course, I've heard some people say, well, if you try to do something and it works, then it must be God. Anything that works is God. Oh, no, 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 no. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Do you realize that? We shouldn't even say, yep, tomorrow I'm going to do this, this, and this. You can say that, but always remember to say with it, if the Lord wills. Because if he doesn't will, you won't do it. And it won't work. And by the way, that's how I know this whole thing built up around us is going to collapse. Because there's a God in heaven who's going to bring it down. Matter of fact, I was mentioning we were in New York and we were praying at these places. And we did a lot of bus riding. Because New York, Manhattan is 13 miles long, which is kind of interesting. 2 miles wide. And we went all the way up to Central Park, which is quite a haul. We were on the bus for about 3 hours up there and back, and did a lot of walking between. But as we would ride the bus, I see a few nods here. As we would ride the bus, I'd be praying, Lord, smite this place. It's so wicked. It's so evil. Lord, bring down wrath against this place. It's kind of interesting. If people heard you, they gave you this look like a mule looks at a new gate, you know? Who's this guy? What's he doing? You know, is he nuts or what? Well, we were near 51st Street and going past Rockefeller Center. And one of the things that, as we were riding along in the bus there, of course I was hitting a lot of these places, Lord, smite this. Bring down thy wrath. This is evil. And plenty of evil there. Then I was sitting at work on Thursday at break time, had the computer on at the university, and all of a sudden this came over the screen from Reuters News Service. Fire rages at NBC headquarters, Rockefeller Center. Huh? One of the things that inspired me to do this, there were a number of things that I had done this before and prayed and asked. It doesn't hurt to ask. I mean, I'm no special guy that can do all this stuff. I just ask the Lord. Some people don't believe in asking the Lord, so if you ask not, you receive not. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. But I should mention a while back, in Oshkosh, there were several porno places and things like that. We just prayed right out of existence. They shut them down. And down in Madison last December, when I was driving past the Washington Hotel, I prayed. I knew it was the headquarters for Queerdom, for the gay society down there. I prayed that the Lord would, specifically, the Lord would send the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah upon that building. And it wasn't but a couple of months, I think. Was that in March or something like that, thereabouts? The headlines came across that the Hotel Washington burned to the ground with a fire of unknown origin. But they didn't ask me. I know the origin of that fire. That was God that brought that down. Amen. And then we drive past the Rockefeller Center, NBC headquarters, and what happens? Pray that the Lord would send his judgment on it, and then this comes across the screen. What am I supposed to think? Fire rages at NBC headquarters. It was an electrical fire, started in the 10th floor. 10 is God's number of testing and of judgment. The Ten Commandments. Remember, Jacob said to Laban, "These 10 times hast thou changed my wages?" You look at the number 10 all the way through, and you find this. Now, it started on the 10th floor. It says that it was a 5-alarm fire. That's a real humdinger. The 5-alarm fire began about 4 a.m. EDT in a 10th floor electrical closet near where construction was being performed, and caused the evacuation of the 70-story General Electric Company building, NBC said. Officials said the fire was still burning on at least 5 floors. Incidentally, 13 people were injured. And firefighters were trying to find its source and isolate it. They're having an awful time. Incidentally, all of Manhattan was shut down. Well, maybe the Lord was reformatting their hard drive. See, the guy who owns NBC is Henry Kissinger, whose name equals 666, Kissinger. Now, you start adding these things up, this is not coincidence. This is God sending judgment. Look at all the vile, wicked, evil stuff being broadcast on NBC. Not to mention CBS, ABC, and all the other ones, and the cable and everything. All this vile stuff has literally destroyed our country. It's destroyed our country. The kind of stuff they're putting over that. But God has a hand in this thing, and he's bringing it down. Amen. What does the Bible say? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Get some faith and fight. Put on the whole armor of God. The Lord keeps telling us and telling us and telling us, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And they send out their Goliaths to try to intimidate you. And they got all this stuff going on. Well, just don't take it. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That's the way it's got to be. Praise the Lord. A number of other things happen too. I always like to do one of these little updates every week. So much is going so fast now that we can't help but have a lot of faith. Here, we got this little thing going on. Clinton signed an anti-terrorism bill into law. When did he do it? Well, let's see. It was 13 days past the lunar eclipse and was 18 days after the equinox. Perfect timing for astrology. 18 being 3 sixes and 13 designating the witchcraft of it all. What does it do? Forces airports to put in all this high-tech stuff. $19 billion worth of it. Billion with a B. But it also vastly expands the FBI for surveillance. October 10th, Clinton made an announcement. And by the way, that's when the fire took place, too, in New York. But Clinton made an announcement that he wants every home in America to be online, on the internet, by the year 2000, that you will be forced to have a computer or you won't have a telephone. And you won't be able to communicate. And you won't. The only way you'll be able to pay your bills is through the computer. Or receive your money. All electronic. As a matter of fact, his exact words were, "Let us reach for a goal in the 21st century of every home connected to the internet, and let us be brought closer together as a community through that connection." We're all connected. Huh? Ruth? In certain areas, they will send you a ticket. They'll say, "Well, you went through this, and we clocked you at this speed." They have surveillance cameras and equipment. They know. See, we used to criticize the Russians. We'd say, "Boy, that's awful living over there, because if you had to go anywhere, you would have to go and check in with your Soviet, and then get in your car, and then you would drive, if you had a car, and then you would drive to the next town to visit Aunt Svetlana, or whatever she'd be, and..." But to get there, to get over there, you'd be stopped every 3 miles at a checkpoint, and they'd look to see how many were in your car, if they're all still in there. Otherwise, if they're not, where'd they go? Can you imagine them doing that out on the interstate? It wouldn't work over here, would it? Too many people have cars, but they've got cameras, and they know how many are in the car. They're doing the same thing electronically. You've got to understand that. Privacy is about gone. And when everybody's on the internet and everybody's connected, not only nationwide but worldwide, you have one world in effect. The one world control. Sister Pat? Yeah, Soglin's going to quit because Hillary loves him. And she's got a place for him in the federal government. She had lunch with him the other day. But you got to remember, it takes a village. Hillary said that parents cannot raise their children. It takes a village to raise the children. I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. But the headlines in this was, "Clinton wants all homes internet savvy, so that you can receive..." Oh, by the way, this isn't very good news either, I guess. But this comes from American Bankers Association. It says, "Federal government to require," underlined require, "direct deposit. On July 26, 1996, which, by the way, was 33 days before the August full moon, showing the Masonic flavor of the thing. On July 26, 1996, the federal government launched a program to virtually eliminate the use of the check as a federal payment instrument. Beginning immediately, in some cases, Uncle Sam will issue regular payments only through electronic funds transfer, direct deposit. If you begin receiving regular payments from Uncle Sam after July 25th of this year, you are affected now. These payments will be made without checks, only through direct deposit. The only exception involves a complex waiver process," and of course they'll deny it. "This includes payments for Social Security, veterans benefits, federal government military salaries, government and military pensions, similar payments made on a regular basis. If you began receiving regular payments from the federal government prior to July 26, 1996, your payments will be converted to direct deposit no later than January 1st, 1999. In other words, no more checks at all. It's electronic. You won't get a check. And if you refuse the system, you will be cut off. Isn't that interesting? At the same time, Clinton says, I want every home to have a computer. Incidentally, the word computer equals 666, too. The number system. That just shows you how far along we are here. But another little interesting thing is the Lord sent an earthquake. I announced this a while back. This came across the internet. Earthquake rocks East Mediterranean residents. That whole intercontinental land bridge. See, the land of Israel, Palestine actually, the land, Palestine, connects three continents. It's a land bridge. And there's an island called Cyprus, south of Turkey. And that's where they really felt it, but they also felt it in the Israeli state, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Turkey, in that whole region. It was 6.5 on the Richter scale. The people in Cyprus ran into the streets screaming. It was so intense, they thought it was the end of the world. No, that's just a little taste of what's coming. But what's interesting about that earthquake, of course they've been having a lot of turmoil over there lately anyway, haven't they? What's interesting about that earthquake, it was right on the 33rd parallel. See, the Lord knows just where to send them, doesn't he? I keep bringing out, showing that they plan these different shenanigans that they do, and the Lord judges them according to their plan, just to show them who's in charge. And I don't know how anybody could think that's all coincidence. When the number 33 and 13 and 18 keep popping up all the time and all the time in all of their plans. And the astrology is obvious. Oh, they're trusting in Egypt, all right, but God said he's going to make the shadow of Egypt their confusion. Isn't that good news? Amen. And they were ashamed of the people. They're ashamed of us. Do you realize the government is ashamed of us? They're ashamed of you. They're ashamed of you, Dieter, because I know you don't back the UN, do you? Oh, they're ashamed of you. Huh? Schrecklich, was? Amen. Dieter and I both speak German, so we have a little fun with that once in a while. But what a terrible thing. No, I don't support what's going on in this world. I've given my allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who saved my soul. He's the one who was able to get me from here to heaven. Nobody else can help me get there. It's the Lord who's going to do it. Amen. We've only read 5 verses out of this whole chapter, and I came in determined I was going to do this whole chapter, get all the way through it, so we'll just have to save some for next time. But there are so many things happening so quickly, we know our Lord cometh. We know that very soon the last trumpet will sound. That he's going to rend the heavens and come down. Amen. And I'll tell you, if your name is in the book of life, if you're ready for that great day, then all eternity is going to be a blessing and a joy and a wonder. Amen. But if you're not for the Lord, there's an eternity of damnation waiting. It's just that way. There's no other way. Either the Lord is going to save your soul and put you on his right hand, or you'd be accursed forever. No middle ground. No appeals court. No system such as you find down here. No system of injustice and inequity. You know, I've often heard people say, there's no justice in this world, and that's absolutely right. Not in this world. But when this world ends, there is a righteous, almighty, just God who's going to sort it all out. And as knotted up as it is, it would take God to do it. But I'm glad to know He's the Savior of our souls. Amen. We're going to pray and sing a chorus before being dismissed. We always like to do that. But I want to encourage you to have faith in God. Don't let the troubles of this world bring you down. Fight the good fight of faith. He'll be with you. Step out in faith, and you'll find the Lord there. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we understand that thy word exhorts us to be always ready for thy soon coming. We know from the signs of the times, we know from the things that are happening all around us, every day in the news and every day in the people that we're dealing with and just living in this life, everything tells us that thy word is true. And Lord, we firmly believe in thy holy word and in the power of thy Spirit and of thy saving blood to deliver and to save. And I pray for all of these people, and I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them and lift them up in faith and use them to the glory of thy kingdom. Help us to be always faithful. Help us not to get involved with the idolatries of this world, but rather to be true to thee, for thou art the living God, and thou hast called us out of all the wickedness. Stretch forth thy hand now to help us, I pray, for we stand in great need of thee, and we ask it all now in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God.